This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Let's do the wall of sound.
The wall of sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
All right, since I teased it, we got to start with Brian Kelly here.
Oh, yeah.
So, Brian Kelly, head coach at LSU now, spent a long time at Notre Dame where he was largely humorless. So he goes to LSU. Remember he did the fake Southern accent?
Yes.
Because he wanted to be me and my family. Like, come on, Brian.
Yeah.
That's weak. Anyway, so weekly press conference. Brian's got a nice sport coat on. Looks very dapper. Very buttoned up, if you will. And this was, I believe, yesterday. Right, Tuesday press conference, head coach coming in, whoever LSU's playing next, mm-hmm. And let's roll it.
And now we're excited about the weekend. So, with that, we'll open it up to this late arriving media crowd that must have enjoyed the weekend. That's usually $10 that we put in the kitty for. We'll have a big bash at the end of the year. At my place. I don't think it has anything to do with winning. I think it has to do with being on time.
Maybe if you win, we'll be on time?
Yeah. So that was actually Leah Van. Leah Van was the one who actually said that. And she actually did post a tweet saying, press conference was at noon. I was running from a doctor's appointment, got there at 11:57. Brian Kelly called me out, said jokingly I owed him $10. I said if he won, maybe I'd be on time. Not my finest hour. She said she apologized afterwards. He was super chill and still said I owed him $10.
Excellent, excellent reaction from her after the fact. Because my take on this, look, I am no fan of Brian Kelly. I, like a lot of people, I will never forget that he put a student in a crane up in the air during wicked winds.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never forget.
That's right.
Like, maybe it wasn't his decision to put the guy there, but he wasn't oblivious. Anyway, with that said, he's just kind of humorless. Brian Kelly, as close as he's going to get to making a joke, he did. Do I think Brian Kelly was serious there? When Kelly said, when he made fun of the late arriving media?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he was. I think he was a little put off, which is unfortunate for him. I mean, everybody's got situations. Nobody wants to be late. So Kelly was making a joke, sort of. And the proper response, as Leah figured out after the fact, the proper response is just to laugh. Just to. It's a chuckle. That's it. No big deal. None of your colleagues are going to think any less of you because you showed up a few seconds late to a Brian Kelly press conference. Mm-hmm. Come on. So the initial response from her was not great. And that's all. It's not a big deal. I'm glad they kind of, whatever, buried the hatchet, if you will, afterwards. So awesome.
At least he didn't go delightful comics on.
That's right. He should have blocked her on Twitter immediately. all right. Well done by all parties. All right. Matt Rhule is the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. We have two offerings from Matt Rhule. The first is the about the quarterback, Baker Mayfield, and others as we start the season on Sunday against Baker's old team, the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, the hype isn't around Baker here. I mean, the hype's around Christian McCaffrey and Shaq Thompson and Dante Jackson and all those guys. Baker's, you know, one of 53, but he is our quarterback. You know, we are certainly going to rally around him. And, you know, I want Baker to be Baker. I don't want him to be anything else other than what he is. But, you know, this is a game of 11 guys executing together, and we want to be connected as a team. So to us, this is about offense, defense, and special teams. This is about, you know, a rookie left tackle having to go out and play against one of the premier players in the game. This is about our defense facing two of the, you know, preeminent running backs in the game. There's a lot of storylines in this one. So You know, right now, today was, you know, we're really still focused on us. You know, obviously we're studying Cleveland, but things that we feel like we have to improve to have a chance in the game. So we're excited. I'm excited to see Baker play for the first time, but I'm excited to get Christian back out there and many, many more.
The hype is around Dante Jackson? Did he say that? Come on, Matt.
Yeah.
What? The hype is around Dante Jackson. Look, I understand why you want to downplay it. It is Baker versus Cleveland. I get it. And I also think that that part is overblown. But I also think that there is part of Baker that would like to shove it, you know, to the Browns. I do believe that. And I don't think that anybody would be surprised if after the game, if Cleveland, if the Panthers beat the Browns, if Baker just feels a little bit more spectacular.
Yeah.
Right?
Nothing wrong with that.
And that is okay. And that is okay. All right, one more from Matt Rhule. This is on Henry Anderson, the brand new defensive tackle who apparently has great versatility, even if I don't understand it.
He's a guy that I have a lot of respect for as a player. You know, we've been looking for someone, you know, to play along with Yetur in that first and second down. Big defensive end for us. You know, we have a lot of speed with the Brian Burns' and the Marquise Haynes and the Mari Barnos, but someone could fill that role of playing the, you know, the six technique, the five technique, the four eye. Also then kick down and be a three technique in nickel situations. You know, Henry's a guy that's done it in the league for several years. We had a chance to see him when we joint practiced against New England. So, you know, when went on the injured list for them, he's someone we immediately targeted.
I don't understand what numbers correspond to what positions. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a ranking system, if Matt Rhule is ranking him on a 3-6 scale or what. I don't know. Is it at best at a 7? Because if it's 1-10, then that's not great.
No.
So, but I get it. I know. I understand. Different spots on the defensive line. Matt Rhule getting all football-y. When we come back, and by the way, should say this, 30 minutes from right now, J.J. Jansen, Carolina Panthers' long snapper, and has been for a number of years, will get his take on Baker Mayfield and if he feels the hype around Dante Jackson. I can't wait for that. J.J. Jansen will join us at 2:40 today. But when we come back, Taylor Zarzer from PGA Tour Radio and the SEC Network. We can talk a little college football with Taylor as well. Next. Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuta with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they don't are familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that will help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuta. We will talk with J.J. Jansen, long snapper for the Carolina Panthers, coming up in about 25 minutes. We'll find out what he thinks of the new starting quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. There's a lot of, even though Matt Rhule said otherwise, there is a lot of hype around Baker Mayfield. And that is cool. We're all about that. And like Darren Gant wrote for Panthers.com today, and we spoke to him earlier. Darren Gant speaking very highly of the way Baker has positioned himself going into this season. Hey, somebody who has seen the Panthers up close can talk SEC and college football and golf. My friend Taylor Zarzer, I don't even know what the day job is. I know I listen to him every morning as I'm driving in on the starter on PGA Tour Radio, and he does all those other things. Gosh, amazing. How are you, Taylor?
I'm great, AG. I don't know what my real job is either. I'm just I'm living a blessed life. I do have a lot of jobs, but they're all really really fun ones. And you, as much as anyone since the time I arrived in Raleigh, have been very kind to support me. So I appreciate that. And I have right now a Georgia versus Samford play-by-play board in my hand. So if you have any questions about the two deep or four deep, for that matter, on either one of these teams, fire away.
You're going to need the four deep, I think, for the Georgia side. I think on that side you will definitely need the four deep, so good luck memorizing that. Let me add, first of all, among all the things that you do, if I got this right from listening to you in the mornings, that you're going to be the first tee announcer at the President's Cup, is that true?
Yes, sir.
That is awesome.
I've never done that. So I'm gonna have to work on my broadcaster pipes. You know, you have always sounded younger than you are, and people have said the same thing about me.
Right.
So I'm gonna have to work on maybe my, you know, my deep, maybe my Joe Ovius deep pipes here.
No chance.
In the next couple of weeks.
But no, you don't need that. As a guy who was a student of the game, Ivor Robson, who for years was the first tee announcer at the Open Championship, has a high-pitched voice. It doesn't make a difference. As long as you pronounce their names correctly, that'll be fine. But you're going to announce some names for the international team that a lot of people don't know. And, I mean, just to kind of golf this up for a second, Trevor Immelman, the captain, is in a tough spot. Like, I think, you know, Cam Davis is a good young player, and Taylor Pendrith from Canada is a really good young player. But, man, it's a lot different when Cam Smith, Mark Leishman, Louis Oosthuizen, Abe Anser are on your squad.
Adam, I think this is the biggest impact to any PGA Tour event that LIV Golf has had. And I think it's by a considerable margin, too. I think that if you were to go through the last 3 months since LIV Golf was created, you would say, wow, it was a really big story Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But by the time the PGA Tour event started, you really didn't think about who wasn't playing in those events. As an example, a few weeks ago when Will Zalatoris and Sepp Straka were battling it out in Memphis, I think everybody found that event to be compelling.
Yeah.
And they didn't think Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson aren't here. Boy, where are they? This tournament feels different. I would argue almost all of those tournaments didn't feel any different. I think that you're right. I think this event, because of the names you just said, is going to feel different. It, certainly from a competitive standpoint, I think all of us expect it to feel different. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's competitive for 4 days and then it goes down to the wire and we get a thrilling finish. I can tell you that the build out is bigger than any players' championship ever. It is massive what they have built at Quail Hollow here in Charlotte. And the amount of people, there's going to be 40,000 people following the action each day. And there's only, you know, four or five groups a day and then singles matches on Sunday. There's going to be a sea of humanity on three or four different holes out on the golf course following these groups. It's going to feel really big. I just don't know competitively how it's going to measure up because of what you just said. I feel for Trevor Immelman, the captain of the international team. I think he's done the best job he can, and it feels like some of those selections you just referenced are he's trying to match up with somebody that automatically made the team and who that person might be most comfortable with. As an example, Corey Connors automatically made the team, the Canadian, and his best friend is Taylor Pendrith. So it makes sense that he put Pendrith on the team instead of just trying to put the best ranked player on the team. He said, I'm going to put somebody that Connors loves to play with, and maybe that will help cancel the deficit to some degree that the international team has. But it's a real bummer. It really is. Yeah. And I know that the PGA of America loves the European players only playing in the Ryder Cup, and I know that the DP World Tour only loves the European players playing in the Ryder Cup, but if this thing is a blowout, don't be surprised that you hear some announcement made after the President's Cup where they say, okay, we're going to have at least a couple of Europeans in the President's Cup moving forward.
Yeah, maybe they do Europeans under the age of 25, right? like they do in the Olympics, that you're only allowed a certain number of players, like in soccer, over the age of 23. That's for the most part a younger team, but then we kind of expand. So Ochoa can still play in goal for Mexico, even though he's nearly 40. So maybe something like that. But yeah, it's this has all the makings of an absolute blowout.
It's gonna be one hell of a party, though. Yeah, I hope you're coming.
If I can swing it, I have yes. We were at one point hoping to come down there and broadcast, but the Carolina Hurricanes are standing in my way of getting all that done. Let me ask you this question quickly about Rory McIlroy, who has been vocal not just about what he's been talking about the last 3 months, but or longer since February, but he's not at all feeling it over at Wentworth with all the players who play on LIV still being part of that event. He says friendships are strained. And then he went all jokey on the, you know, these guys are all going to tee off the first hole and they're going to play 72. Hope they're strong enough to deal with that. I think it's very funny and all that. What are your thoughts? Rory has carried this around all year.
Yeah, he has. I think he speaks for a lot of PGA Tour members and DP World Tour members when he says that he doesn't feel good about these players being there. Look, these players have been paid an astronomical amount of money to go play in the LIV Golf League, and I think almost all of the people that are listening to this program don't have a problem with these guys going to play in that league.
Right.
Chances are just about everybody listening would have taken that money too. But then when you come back and you're trying to take the money of the European Tour and the PGA Tour players on top of all the money you've already made, I think that's what doesn't sit well with Rory McIlroy and a lot of other players that are competing in this event this week in London. I get it. The reason they're doing it is because they can't get world ranking points in LIV golf events yet, and the only way for them to do that is by playing in these events. But I think that it's quite clear where Rory McIlroy stands. You made your bed, lie in it, don't try to come back and play in our events too. And I think that the next few days are going to be beyond awkward. What's really going to be interesting to me, Adam, is if, let's say hypothetically, I'll throw out a name here. Let's say that Sergio Garcia wins the BMW PGA Championship this week. Well, if he does that, he's going to get himself in position to make next year's Ryder Cup in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And if Sergio wins a couple of these events or plays incredibly well in European Tour events, he's going to have enough points. And then the European Ryder Cup team is going to have to decide, are we going to let this LIV golfer, Sergio Garcia, into the Ryder Cup as he earned his way in? Or are we going to remove him from the standings because he's now a LIV golfer? That is going to be fascinating to watch that unfold if that situation presents itself in the next 12 months.
Yeah, the courts that are getting in the way right now of the European Tour keeping these guys out, the courts will probably have the ultimate rule there, but we'll see. Hey, before I let you go, and I wish you well, and I'm jealous that you get to do first tee announcing. I've done that before. I did it at the old Jimmy V Golf Classic. For some reason, I was on the 11th tee. Why we had an announcer on the 11th tee, I do not know. But let me ask you real quick, because you and your buddy Steve Smith had a pretty good vantage point of watching Baker Mayfield at least, two of the games, and one of them was a total cameo. What were your impressions of Baker as the guy who has established himself as the quarterback?
Adam, I thought he had a terrific camp. I really did. I thought that in all the scrimmages, the practices, the drills that they did, the scrimmages that they had with the Patriots up in New England, I thought he looked great. He has made it a point to be very serious and quiet since being traded from the Panthers or from the Browns to the Panthers. It's a shame that, you know, that reporter said what they said after the game about him messing somebody up. I don't think that was his intent at all, was to say something about the Cleveland Browns. He wanted to be very quiet, and he wanted a fresh start, and he wanted to do everything he could to ingratiate himself to his teammates. And I have to say, I haven't ever been a big believer in him as a professional quarterback, and certainly Steve hasn't either. But the last 5 or 6 weeks, I walked away impressed by the leader he was of the Carolina Panthers and how he took and how he ingratiated himself to his teammates and to his new playbook. I would say that I think the Panthers have a chance to be a borderline playoff team this year if he stays healthy and if Christian McCaffrey plays 17 games.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I think Baker's presence is that of a bona fide NFL quarterback. There is no question about that. All right, Mr. Zarza, good luck with the Bulldogs. I'm sorry we didn't talk about the Bulldogs in Sanford. Good luck. Good luck with that one and memorizing the four deep.
Adam, Brock Vandegrift is the third string quarterback for Georgia. Just remember that on Saturday.
I will. Hey, thank you very much, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
You, my friend, you got it.
You got it. Taylor Zarza from PGA Tour Radio, SEC Network, and the first team announcer at the President's Cup. Man, that's cool. That's just very cool. All right, when we return, we're headed to Miami Gardens, Florida, in our NFL tour, and then J.J. Janson, long snapper, Carolina Panthers. Next.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19th, 2006, but it all started May 6th, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
First set. Andre Rublev and Francis Tiafoe, American, are on serve, 3-all. Rublev has got a pretty good first serve. So does Tiafoe, but interesting, they're both wearing the same color scheme.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah. This is normal. If you're not Nadal or Federer or Djokovic, ultimately, if you're a Nike person, then you're all wearing the same type of stuff. Same color scheme, maybe slight variation in styles, but it becomes repetitive. It's fine. All right, Dennis Cox, it's an NFL Cities Tour. Let's take it.
All right, we're going down to Miami Gardens. That's right, not Miami, but we're going to Miami Gardens. And the reason for that is because that's where Hard Rock Stadium is. It's not actually in Miami. It's in Miami Garden, just north of the city.
Okay.
So
it sounds lovely. Miami Gardens,
yeah.
I just imagine like lush green, like willow trees and foliage and botany.
There are a couple of parks. There's Rolling Oaks Park. There's Miami Carroll City Park. Right. So if you do want to get into, urban green space, there are definitely some places to go to. One definitely place you have to go to, you have to go to Calder Casino.
Do what?
There's a casino there. You have to go to the casino.
Gross.
What? I've never been to the casino there.
Is there a dog track at the casino?
No, there's not. I don't know.
I'm sure there's a dog track in Miami Gardens. Or Hi Lie. Is there a Hi Lie there?
There might be. Yeah. I don't know. They got slot machines. They've got some table games, it looks like. So, yeah. But there's a casino. You have to go.
It's Florida. They also have shuffleboard.
Oh, there you go. Very nice. Also, you got to go to the Miami International Autodrome. Just catch some racing and stuff there.
Okay.
So that's another
racing is good.
Yeah, another place to go to.
Dog racing, I'm sure they have that too.
Yeah, well, these are cars, so it's a little bit different.
Okay.
Actually, they have at the casino, they have gaming and thoroughbred horse racing.
So really? At Miami Gardens?
Yeah. So you can go catch some thoroughbred horse racing.
It's not where Hialeah is.
No.
Is it? No. Hialeah is in Hialeah.
Exactly. This is north of that.
Okay.
This is north of Hialeah and North Miami and Miami. It's north of all of it.
Okay.
So yeah, it's very, again, very, very small area just outside of Hollywood, Florida as well.
Oh, okay.
Also, a place you got to go to, there's a Topgolf.
Excellent.
You can go to Topgolf in Miami Gardens.
Tom Dundon would appreciate that.
Yes, Topgolf. So yeah, you can go check that out as well. Couple places to get food.
Okay.
There's a place called Hammond's Bakery. Apparently, has great jerk chicken wings. Apparently, a lot of great food down there. Get a Cuban. If there's a place that has a Cuban,
sure.
Get a Cuban down there. There
are better Cubans in Tampa, though, right?
I don't know.
Then isn't that known for the Tampa's got apparently the best Cuban food? Even though Miami has a great Cuban population.
I'll take your word for it.
I have no idea. You're not taking. I'm taking somebody else's word for it.
And also, if you want some like fish fry and things along those lines, grilled wings, ribs, those kinds of stuff, go to Sunday's Eatery.
Sunday's Eatery.
Yes,
in,
Sunday's Eatery.
In Miami Gardens.
I'll be honest, ain't much down there.
No.
In Miami Gardens.
No.
It's not, really. Which is really depressing. Yeah, there's some restaurants and stuff, and obviously there's Hard Rock Stadium. But that's, that's about it.
Okay.
That's really
about it. We got no donuts?
It.
We have no donuts?
Oh, Bob the Baker. It's a bakery down there. They got a little
Bob
everything.
The Builder?
Bob the Baker. It's obviously a play
on
words.
What's
here.
The difference between Bob the Builder and Bob the Baker?
Because he can bake it.
Okay.
Yes, he can.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. There is not much to do in Miami Gardens.
Well, like we said yesterday,
yeah.
Because it's not Miami, it's Miami Gardens. It's like Foxborough. It's like Landover. Like, there's nothing there. Miami Gardens, man.
There's nothing there. Yeah, it's a place. Oh, there's a Waffle House.
Of course there is.
There's a Waffle House.
We're south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Yes,
there's a Waffle House everywhere.
There's a Waffle House there.
Everywhere.
Yeah, that's it.
There might also be a Shoney's.
I don't know. Do Shoney's still exist?
Yeah, I think so. No, it's been 30 years since I've been inside a Shoney's, so I'm not sure. Actually, it's longer than 30 years since I've been inside a Shoney's.
Actually look and see, do Shoney's still exist?
It's almost 35 years since I've been inside of Shoney's. I'm not kidding.
How many Shoney's are left here?
I don't know.
Apparently 100. As of August 19, 2022, there are 100 Shoney's locations
sure.
in the U.S.
Yeah, I would have. How would we have missed that news?
33 in Tennessee. That's it.
I have.
That's it.
All I have is jokes about that. I went to, as we're waiting on J.J. Jansen. Long snapper, Carolina Panthers. I went to a Tennessee-Alabama football game. This is a long time ago. This is, almost 20 years ago. This is before the Nick Saban era. Tennessee was actually the better program at this point. I think Mike Shula was the head coach at Alabama at that point? So... A friend of mine, Alabama grad, took me to the game. My read on Knoxville, Tennessee was for two things. First of all, Neyland Stadium should be condemned. From the outside, you would think there's no way they put 100,000 people in this ballpark, but they do. Everybody's very close together, and that Tennessee has the shiniest fans in college football. I don't know what that means. I don't know what the reason is for that, but there is a glow about Tennessee fans. So there you go. That's all I have on Tennessee. It is cool to see the program finally getting back to being good, and I know Pitt and Tennessee should be an absolute blast coming up this year. J.J. Jansen has been the long snapper for the Carolina Panthers for 13 years. And I know it's funny, J.J., I appreciate your time. It's got to be 4 or 5 years since, it's not really a joke, like, man, we would like to talk to this guy. And I finally reached out and said, let's talk to J.J. Jansen. And I appreciate you coming on the program, man. Season is here. How you feel? I know they drafted somebody at your position last year. What did you think of that, and how are things going?
Things are going real well. This is year 15 for me. So when you start getting a little older in years, they start trying to, see who else can do it. And I'm just really grateful. I'm still here and still playing. This has been a really fun team to be a part of. It's been a lot of fun kind of growing with a new group, a new core. And I think this is sort of, obviously this is Coach Rule's third year, but this reminds me a lot of kind of the buildup to 2013. It's a young group of players, mm-hmm. young, what I call kind of young veterans, 4, 5, 6 years where they're kind of coming into their own leadership wise, production wise. And now everyone's, really trying to make a name for themselves. And so it's a fun time to sort of be kind of growing up with these guys, and
It's been a fun training camp, and we're ready to go play somebody else for real and get things started on Sunday.
J.J. Jansen is with us here, long snapper, Carolina Panthers. So you've spanned a bunch of different quarterbacks, including Cam Newton. But I want to ask you about Baker. My read on Baker from way afar has been, at the very least, he carries himself and he has a number one top flight quarterback presence. Does that come through? And I'm not trying to throw any shade on the ability because I think it's good, or any of the behind the scenes stuff. But outwardly, he looks and he acts like a guy who has been at the top of the game for a long time. What's your read on Baker as a player and as a leader?
Well, he's been a fantastic teammate. He's been a fantastic leader. Obviously, the position of quarterback lends itself to some natural, you know, leadership qualities. And I do think that you have to be a really good leader, a really good teammate to have success at the position. Obviously, talent always matters, but you're the one making the play calls, the audibles, the checks. People are just looking at you because that's the nature of the position. The same way team might look at the point guard or, you know, a shortstop or catcher in baseball. That's just kind of a natural leadership position. You know, when Baker got here, you know, you hear a lot of stories. Every teammate that's ever played with him that I know has loved him. Every equipment manager, every trainer, everybody has loved him. So you hear all these stories, but nobody from inside any of the buildings that has ever played with him have any of those same sort of stories. So he's been a fantastic teammate. He's been a blast to play with. He carries himself with a ton of confidence. He really gives that confidence away to his teammates. And I think that is one of the hallmarks of a great leader, is empowering and encouraging the guys around him to play up to those levels, not with attitude or you got to do this or that, but really kind of building guys up. And I think that's one of Baker's best qualities as a teammate, is he's one of the guys. He's an encourager, but he also knows everyone's looking at him. And so that is a lot of responsibility. He brings that to the team, and I think that's a really positive attribute that we as a team are able to get a lot of positive effects off of. So that's been a fun thing to watch and enjoy and be a part of.
I want to ask you one question about a former teammate that also had great leadership qualities and a great presence about him, and I'll just ask it in this context. What was it like when Cam Newton walked back into the building last year?
We're in a little bit of a tough spot there. You know, Sam had just gotten hurt. And so we needed another quarterback. So when we went, you know, when we went out to Arizona, I personally had a lot of memories. That was his first game back in 2011. So there was a lot of kind of full circle stuff. And it was really sort of a fun experience to watch Cam in that environment. You know, PJ was the starter. PJ played fantastic for us. We had these roles for Cam. I think PJ that game was like 70, 72%, really carried the team well. But then there's these packages, these sort of quintessential Cam Newton plays, third down, fourth down, red zone, diving for the pylon, like that, some of those quintessential plays. So that was a lot of fun. You know, Cam, you know, I've been really blessed. You know, I watched Cam come in as a rookie. I've seen him mature and grow in his football, in his leadership, in his personality. Obviously, everyone's seen all of the style changes over the years. You know, Cam is still bringing all of those same sort of style changes each year. He's got something new. So it's just, it's fun to see guys. Again, it's a really special moment to be able to play with a guy for so long. He leaves, and then you get to see him, you know, version 2.0. That was a pretty cool thing for me. He obviously brings life and energy to any building he walks into, whether it's a football stadium or a cigar club. So he brings the energy. So it was a lot of fun last year playing with him, and brought a lot of life, you know, especially in the middle there where we were, you know, and we had an injured quarterback and we were, you know, kind of looking for a little bit of a spark. He certainly brought it there in that game in Arizona.
J.J. Jansen, long snapper, Carolina Panthers, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. So I'm driving in to this morning I dropped my son off at school and I was telling him, hey, I'm going to talk to J.J. Jansen today. And he said, okay, so who is he? And I said, he's the long snapper for the Carolina Panthers. And he had some snide remark about what does he do? And I'm like, he's got one of the greatest jobs in all of sports. There isn't a lot of longevity in your sport. You've been around a long time. Did you ever think, like, when did you decide long snapper is my ticket to this?
Yeah, you know, I grew up playing a lot of baseball, so I didn't actually start playing football until I was a sophomore in high school. I picked up long snapping because my dad did it, and I was joining a JV team that the year before gone 9-0. Nobody wanted to be the long snapper, and my dad knew how to do it, and because I played baseball, I could throw, and so some of the skills were somewhat natural to me. And it was just funny, in high school, I tried to keep quitting to go play baseball, but I was the best kid in all of high school doing it. And so they kind of kept bringing me back, even though I really just wanted to go play baseball. Got to go to Notre Dame, one of the schools that I really wanted to go to academically. You know, I got to go there and play football, walked on. And so I never really thought of this as like a long-term profession. I joked probably until about year two or three of being in the NFL. Then I was like, man, I probably could do this for a little bit of time. I was still studying to be an accountant my first year when I was in Green Bay, because I just sort of thought this was, you know, a year or two sort of, you know, bounce around. You see guys kind of bounce around a little bit and then they're out. So I didn't really know what to make of it. I got here to Carolina in my second year. John Casey, Jason Baker were the kicker and the punter. They mentored me so much professionally, personally. And then you sort of feel like, oh my gosh, like, here's a kicker who's been doing it for 19 years. Like, I'm following a long snapper, Jason Kyle, who done it for 15, 16, 17 years. I'm like, you could actually do this. And I don't know that I've ever really thought of playing this long. It's always been playing the next year and playing 1 year at a time. And then you look up and all of a sudden, you know, you got guys like Shaq Thompson who are calling you old man and grandpa and all this other stuff. And, you know, it's sort of, it's like you look up. I think of all of my teammates as my peers, but I also realize like some of the guys are closer in age to my oldest son than they are to me. And I remember thinking that about guys like John Casey and Josh McCown when I first got here. Right. So it's just sort of a fun, you know, full circle thing again. You know, my teammates, you know, I have hopefully some wisdom to pass on to them. And I think they view me as being the guy that's got all the wisdom, when in reality, I'm just sort of repeating the same sort of encouragement that older players had for me when I was 22 and sitting in those same seats, those same shoes. So, you know, it was really paid forward to me, and I'm just trying to pass it along. And if I get a couple old man jokes along the way, I can take it.
I bet you miss Julius Peppers.
Yeah, played with Julius,
right,
back my rookie year. He was here. He was in the locker next to me, and he was making about $1 million a year. And I think I was making league minimum. I thought, in no other business can you work side by side with somebody making 50 times what you're making. And I thought, this is a cool experience to be in this locker room. So I was here in Julius's last year, in Julius 1.0, and then obviously again when he came back a bunch of years later in I guess whatever that 17-18 seasons.
JJ, I appreciate your time, man. I'm glad I finally reached out and tried to do it.
Yeah.
I hope you'll come back. I hope you have a great season. I'm glad you fought off the challenger last year, and I hope you can do this for another 15 years.
Oh my gosh, that's too many. Maybe just 10. I appreciate you having me.
Take care, JJ. You got it. JJ Jansen, the long snapper from the Carolina Panthers. Look, it might be the best job in football. Like, granted, it doesn't have, you know, the decimal points that we all want. Or it has the decimal points. It just doesn't have all the zeros to the left.
It's just in the wrong place.
Right? But there aren't a lot of guys who get to play 15, 16 years in the big league.
No.
In the NFL.
Or the big leagues.
Or the big leagues. Or any sport, for that matter. So,
but I was waiting for you to ask the football-y question, like, hey, how important is it for the snapper to make sure the laces are out?
No, you don't do that with JJ Jansen.
I know, I'm just kidding.
You talk personalities, you talk other stuff. Like, I also didn't want to insult him by saying, all right, so after the kicking and punting is done, what do you do at practice? Is there something that, all right, this has all happened, get JJ? Like, there must be an emergency. Like, is he the fourth string center? Fifth string? Like, if they lose a bunch of offensive linemen, is he a center?
He might be a tight end. I don't know what his...
He was a baseball player, so you know he's a brilliant athlete.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.